So tell me when you're ready, and we will start the wrestling show slash the Conan show. And so do you want me to push the lock betting or in the beginning, or do you want me to do Billy K 100 on Twitter or both?
No, I pushed a lot of betting because I just got my 100th month. So
okay. All right. That works. All right. So when you're ready, hit that.
I'm trying to think if this still got fucking.
Your hair looks fine. What are you doing?
It's a weird, like, fucking twist in my hair. It's like.
You're going to get dressed. Like,
yeah, let's go.
Okay.
I'm keeping the boxes like this.
All right.
What am I doing here? Record.
What's up, everyone? Welcome to the Wrestling Informer with Billy Body, episode 2, here on K100's YouTube channel. Billy, we're going to get into some things, but first, got to tell everybody where we're at. I'm Cav Manning from the Lingus Mafia podcast. You can find all my nonsense at Lingus Mafia. Billy is to be found mostly at lockbetting.com, where he has tons of gambling packages for everybody, including wrestling gambling packages, which we can't really do here in the United States. I really wish, since everything is all predetermined, that's free money. So if you can gamble on wrestling, make sure you go there. He's also at Billy K 100, and that's Billy with an I. People always get that wrong, Billy. I see it constantly. What's going on? How you been?
Yeah, so the lockbetting.com service, which I've got here on my screen, we just had our 100th month in a row of profit. So to translate what that means, that means for 8 years and 4 months, I haven't had a single losing month in sports betting. So if you sign up to my package, there are spreadsheets for all of these 100 months, including the pinned tweet on my gambling Twitter account, which is at SGP Soccer, stands for at Soccer Gambling Podcast Twitter, which is another podcast I'm on. And at Soccer Gambling Podcast Soccer.
Sports Gambling Podcast Soccer is what it's there.
Gambling Podcast Soccer, yeah. But I mean, it's weird because the show's called the Soccer Gambling Podcast. So at SGP Soccer doesn't really relate to anything. it's at SGP Soccer. So I guess, yeah, it's Sports Gambling Podcast Soccer. But the point is that if you go to that Twitter account, you will see the spreadsheet from the previous month. So I've replaced the month of August with the month of September. That is the 100th month. And I thought it was going to be a sweaty month because notoriously in sports betting, September's the hardest month because the soccer season has just started. You have players at different fitness levels. You have some players that played for their countries in the summer. You have some players that are playing in the league and the Champions League because the Champions League gets started as well, and they're playing more games. And you have players that are adjusting to their new teammates. So soccer's hard. NFL weeks 1 to 3 are a nightmare. You have to be really good to make money in NFL's weeks 1 to 3. And even with the US Open Tennis, which is the Grand Slam, the last Grand Slam tournament of the year, you're dealing with injuries, fatigue, like burnout. You have to handicap around all of that. Everything is hard. Well, we made 12 units immediately by killing the US Open. So I was relaxed already because I knew, however difficult soccer and NFL was, I wasn't going to lose 12 units. I ended up making £4,148. Which is $5,500. That's in a month. So these guys sign up for my top package for $125. They turn that into $5,500 in a month. So I don't know how much that gets you, whether that pays your rent for the year, your mortgage for the year, whether it gets you on a couple of nice holidays, gets you a car, depending on what you want to drive, whatever. Like, you know, I've done that for you in a month with my service.
And what's good is it's very transparent. Like you said, you have all your spreadsheets, so there's none of these other people that are BSing people and, oh yeah, this is my record. Well, where is it? And they don't show anything. You have everything up there for everybody to see. So
yeah, call my hotline for my pick.
And, yeah.
never find out how last week's pick done or anything.
So a lot of stuff is on the Dirty Sheets podcast, which is our NFL show as well. That's over on the Dirty Sheets podcast. This show is going to be half It's a simulcast here. We're going half on the dirty sheets because we're going to talk a little bit about what happened this week in wrestling when it came to the draft mostly. And then when it comes to all the news that Billy has with his Informer stuff, we are going to be on the Conan, keeping it 100 YouTube for everybody to watch. So you'll want to transfer over. We'll let you know when we're leaving and going straight to there. But if you're watching this, you're good to go already. So
yeah, so that's a good point. Yeah, if you're watching this, you don't have to do anything. We're only mentioning this for the people who download the Dirty Sheets podcast. You, if you're listening to that, you're going to get like 30, 35 minutes. And then obviously you'll have to come over to this video and find the part that you're up to where we start talking to the news on the about the news on the Wrestling Informer.
So there's always issues. We've always laughed, and we usually will text each other the minute these things happen in the draft. I wanted to do a round with you for this, and be that you have no idea my suggestion here and what we're going to do. I want to do if this is a real draft, because we know they screw this up all the time, and it makes no sense what they do. And I think it was pretty glaring the very first night. So I want to do 5 rounds with you. You be SmackDown, I'll be Raw. You pick a guy, I'll pick a guy. We go back and forth, only 5 rounds. And I want to see what you say, and you can hear what I say, and see if it's exactly what I think is going to be.
Okay, but is everybody in it? Because what they did is they made a pool of people available on SmackDown and a different set of people on Raw. Did you know that?
Yeah, but it's, I think that's complete nonsense too, because it doesn't make sense to me when they have these rules, which they don't tell you who's not allowed. They didn't say, well, here's the pool that we can't do.
I think they announced it. Maybe they didn't announce it this year, but definitely last year you knew who the pool was.
So let's say everyone's in the pool. You're SmackDown. Who are you taking first?
Roman.
Okay, of course. So since you took the champion over there, I guess I will take Big E because he's the other champion and I need a champion for my show. Who's next for you?
Well, okay, they didn't. Obviously, she was only eligible on Monday, but I would take Becky next because I don't want to lose that title either.
Okay, see, where the difference is what I would do, I would risk and try to sneak in here and get Nakamura because I want the IC title on my show. So
it's the same principle.
Sure, yep. So who's your next one then?
Well, if you took the IC title, then I will take Damian Priest to make sure I have the US title.
Okay. All right. And since you have Becky, then I'll take Charlotte. So I now have the woman's title on my show as well. Okay. So now you're second.
So all those picks were pointless because you took everybody from Raw that had the belts and you're Raw, right? And I took all my champions as well. So that shouldn't even be a thing. Well, I don't think champions should change over.
I don't either.
When that red belt goes to the blue brand,
and they hand it over.
Well, I don't even know if they'll do the handover. I think if they were going to do the handover, they probably should have done it. I think maybe what they might do is have both of them lose their belts because they're doing all of these funky, like, cross-brand matches at this fucking pay-per-view that makes no sense. Because they're saying, we're doing this draft, but just ignore it for 3 weeks. Because
it's after the crown jewel, then it counts. So
why didn't you just do it after? So the matches were less predictable at the pay-per-view. So we don't know that Drew is 100% losing to Big E.
Yeah, I mean, and would your next pick be a tag champ, obviously? So you get a tag title on your show?
I didn't care about tag team wrestling, but yeah, probably.
In real life. And then it's either going to be Drew or Bobby is going to be the next pick, right? And the other person is going to pick.
But here's the thing. I think this picking format that we're doing says a lot about the draft because back in the day when you've got Kane, Undertaker, Hogan, Rock, Austin, these are all people from the 2012 draft. Remember the first one where Ric Flair's first pick was Undertaker. Vince's first pick was The Rock. You might not remember that, but I do.
Yeah, you remember a little too much.
NWO, I think we're in it too. So you're not going to go like, oh, I'm going to get all my champions. You're going to go, oh, you got Rock, I got Austin. He's got Undertaker, I'm going to take, an NWO or something. They had like real fucking stars. If you're looking around and you're going, okay, so he took the world champions. Do I take the women's champion or do I take whoever the Intercontinental champion is, or do I look at the stars? Is Drew big enough for me not to take a title? Is Rollins big enough for me not to take a title? It's embarrassing that they're not, because they don't book these talents or elevate them properly. So you're actually thinking, fuck it, I will take a title because I don't think these stars are elevated to enough of a level where they're going to do anything for my show. And it's a weird thing, because Drew was right there before. And his booking has just been so bad. I mean, and even to a certain extent, you would even think Lashley was there. But Lashley's a guy that's just lost over and over again to Big E just before the draft.
Yeah, and I think your idea more so of no champions should be drafted, they stay where they're at, is the way to go. Because then it is really up in the air for everyone else to where, oh, who's the best person that does not have a title I want?
There's other reasons for that too, because if you don't do it like the way we're doing it, you take the champions early. If a champion goes in the third round, like I believe they did, you're thinking, gee, what a shitty belt, what a shitty champion. it buries the champion as well. And if you do take them too early, then you have the visual of Seth Rollins is in round two, Keith Lee's in round three, Karrion Kross is in round five. You want to get these guys drafted as early as they can so they go, oh, I'm a second round pick, I'm a first round pick. Like, you don't want to overcrowd that with champions. The number one pick shouldn't be Roman Reigns. The number one pick should be a talent who you're trying to get over. What would it do for Karrion Kross's career if somebody had picked him in the first round and you would have had the license to do that had you not overcrowded this with champions that didn't need to be in there?
My first thing, like you said, obviously they're doing the whole, some can be selected, some can't, because Raw needs to have something on their show to select and make a star out of, make a big event out of. And when I saw, like, okay, they take a woman champion, and then the next woman is Bianca Belair, and I'm like, what the hell? And that's where I lose my mind, where I'm like, if they want to make this realistic, they need to take the champions first, or have the champions unavailable. I'm like, why would you not have Becky? But like we said, of course, they're doing this.
What about shit like taking the new Japanese or Chinese? I'm not sure what she is from NXT.
That's Zaya, yeah. Zaya Lee.
I believe she went before Karrion Kross.
And a lot of the time the crowd is chanting who when somebody's come over. And it's right. Like, oh, my God. I mean, on the news segment we get to, there is something about this, too, on there, which is like, where is this coming from? Obviously, SmackDown is, as they always say, the land of opportunity, and that's when it's going to go on over there. But from get-go with some of this nonsense they do, and when they had the Uso thing happen, the whole drama fest about on SmackDown, they had said, hey, don't let them be drafted to Raw. They have to be on SmackDown. This was a big thing. Oh, something to look forward to. There's going to be a story. They didn't do anything about it. Paul's sitting there go, yeah, I fixed it. There wasn't even, I was 100% thinking they're getting drafted to Raw, and then there has to be some nonsense that happens to get them back over to SmackDown because Paul's in trouble and freaking out and everything. There was zero reason. Why did they even travel to Tennessee or wherever to do this? To do absolutely nothing. They don't do anything. They can't be bothered with a story.
So I didn't even have this in my notes because I didn't think it was a great story, but that was simply down to the fact that they decided for budget reasons and for time reasons that they were not going to send Brock to Raw. They even advertised Brock to be on Raw because Brock was supposed to be on both shows in the draft. And they just decided that we don't need him to be there.
Wow!
So that was what that was.
This company, it's one thing after another. It really is. There is no lack of material when it comes to pointing out everything that's wrong with them.
No, and this is the thing. Like I gave some draft news out last week. I don't know if it was on this show. I believe it was on the free show. where I was talking about the fact that Balor was going to be coming over to Raw. I have more information about Balor and whatnot later on the other side of the show. Sheamus was 100% going over to SmackDown. Obviously, some stuff became clear that Becky was going to move over when Charlotte moved over. But some of that other stuff was late in terms of them feeling like, you know, we can move Sheamus over because the story is going to be that Sheamus has only not won the Intercontinental title. We're going to move Balor over because Balor can't face Roman again. Some of this stuff was set in stone. Drew McIntyre moving to SmackDown was set in stone, but there was some talk as to whether they would move over Lashley and Drew at one point because, you know, the situation with The Rock. How confident are we about The Rock? Do we need more opponents over there? Do we need a Mania opponent over there? Do we need Drew over there for Mania? Do we need Drew over there for SummerSlam in the UK? Which is going to happen. The 30th anniversary SummerSlam is going to be in the UK. So there was a lot of talk about saving things and how they were going to do things at the main event level. The smaller stuff, like, as I mentioned, Carmella, Finn Balor, Sheamus, all people I knew was out earlier. The Becky thing was a weird one because that was very much a case of prior to this that Lesnar and Becky were going to be over on SmackDown because WWE have a bad relationship at the moment with Fox in terms of many things. The numbers not being high enough. Some of that was forgiven for the pandemic. Not signing up CM Punk. Going deeper into a deal with NBC when Fox wanted an expansive relationship with them, where they were looking to expand what the WWE was worth in terms of especially identifying factors where they felt like WWE could grow. That's why we saw two back-to-back West Coast WrestleManias booked, SoFi Stadium, WrestleMania 37, and Vegas Stadium, WrestleMania 38. Now, these things didn't happen because of the pandemic, but the idea was that Fox identified that WWE's Hispanic viewership had dipped and that Fox could really get those people in because Fox is available to all the Hispanic communities and in closed captioning and also you can have Spanish commentary if you want as well for WWE. So they didn't feel like they were really doing enough with that. So they wanted to hit that market hard. They had big plans for WWE and what they wanted to do with them. But as I said, there's issues with the ratings. There's issues with CM Punk. There's issues with the fact that, and the CM Punk thing, in case you guys don't know, Fox were aware, Fox brought Punk in to make peace with WWE and Punk. And then they were aware that he was talking to AEW, at which point Fox decided to let WWE know. And WWE said that made up all these excuses that Punk wasn't worth what Cena was. Punk wasn't worth what Edge was. And they used all of these almost false numbers where they were looking at Punk's overall metrics for his time in the WWE. And we all know as fans that Punk wasn't pushed until 2011. It was his first, you know, 4 or 5 years was essentially him being in the mid card and getting stop start pushes with a lack of merchandise. Once he actually had merchandise, which was substantial, he beat John Cena in t-shirt sales. Like he was the first guy to do it since 2005. But WWE didn't say that. They were just saying like how Edge was worth $3 million a year and Cena was worth $3 million for the 1 month he did. But CM Punk wasn't worth the $3 million in terms of matching the AEW offer. So Fox didn't really buy into that to their credit because they do have people there that do know wrestling. And they turned around and said that we'll match whatever you want to pay. If you think he's worth 1.2, 1.3, 1.4, we'll pay the rest. And then WWE then come back with another bullshit excuse that said he was a locker room cancer. He was miserable to be around. He was miserable when he made other people miserable. Nobody wants him back. At which point you can't argue. So just to finish, you got the Punk issue. You got the ratings issue from the pandemic where you haven't delivered. You've gone and done a deal with NBC and Peacock, which when Fox wanted to do more with you. And obviously you haven't delivered with Becky Lynch and Brock Lesnar throughout. And previously, you told them that you were that the Fiend was your new big star, and he was going to be featured on SmackDown. And even the Fiend ends up going over to Raw as well. So just throughout this entire thing, it's been like lie and let down and lie and let down. It was actually a big meeting between WWE and Fox to try and sort out this relationship. And then shortly after that, we see Becky moving across after she's doing little ad spots with Fox and everything, and she's seen as a big draw. So I was surprised to see that going, to see that happening. There must have been talks in terms of saying that, hey, look, you get Charlotte for Becky. It's pretty equal. And obviously in January, you're going to start getting Dwayne Johnson on your TV show. So I believe that they were appeased with that. And of course, McIntyre goes over as well. I don't know. I would love to say that is a big deal. And because obviously I know Drew, and I would love to say that was a big bargaining chip. But if I said that, I would be lying. And I'd be lying in terms of it is a big bargaining chip, but I would be just saying it blindly without actually having the information. I know that Becky is a big deal. I know that Brock is a big deal. I know that Rock is a big deal. I knew Bray Wyatt was a big deal. And I know that they've all ended up on Raw, so apart from The Rock. So I believe that with all of this happening, and look, SmackDown got battered in the draft. Look at the draft. Look at the last night on the Raw draft. They ended up with Sheamus was their top guy that went over on Monday. Then on Thursday, on this Friday, you got Charlotte and Drew. They're the three main people that SmackDown got. Look at the Raw side of things again. They ended up getting Becky Lynch. They ended up getting Seth Rollins. They ended up getting Edge. Yeah, like so. They got the Mysterios as well, which is not going to help with your West Coast demo or your Hispanic demo. So, I mean, I don't know how many Hispanic people watch and go, hey, I really want to watch Rey Mysterios on the show. Like, I don't know how much that exists anymore. But yeah, I mean.
And Kevin Owens goes back and forth every draft.
Well, Kevin Owens is only going to be there for 4 months.
You think he's really going to be out of here?
I think he's going to be out of there. And I think if Sammy's not on the same show as the Mysterios, I think he's going to be out of there too. Because I don't know why Sammy didn't go over with the Mysterios if he's going to be the guy in Dominic's ear.
He's got 3 weeks. And they wrap up stories quickly.
Yeah.
And that'll be
fun. Yeah. And he's on a different show to them. So that story has already been dropped. So, I mean, it was for me, I thought it was like a lot. Bowler as well is another one. Didn't mention him. He's gone to Raw. So, yeah, I felt like it was a lopsided Bianca. Shit. Names are just like coming to me. Carmella as well. With the Carmella thing, I think that's someone that's improved a lot. I think that this company seemed that they're going to go very much in a direction of we're looking for champions of ethnicity that can be stars. So your Sashas and your Biancas, obviously with the whole Black Lives Matter thing, that was central to what happened in the main event of WrestleMania. And then
Liv went over.
Aside, yeah, well, Liv is another one in terms of I think there's a story behind that, where she's not interested in signing a contract now after what happened to her Money in the Bank. So I believe that could be another person to keep an eye on in terms of thinking to themselves, I'm done with this shit. I'm done with this like stop, start pushes and everything like that. She could be another person that could be on her way. So yeah, I think it'll be interesting to watch how many of these guys just end up going and obviously how WWE make it up to Fox. But I think the main objective when you do drafts is to find opponents for Roman Reigns and find opponents for Big E. And I do think that they did an okay job with that, because with Big E, you can immediately see him obviously having that match with Drew. That's a SmackDown match. Then you've still got AJ Styles over there. You've still got Randy Orton over there. You've got Edge that came over there as well. I don't think the Lashley thing's done. I think Brock Lesnar's a free agent because he's going to end up over there too. So, yeah, I mean, there's tons of shit for Big E to do. And if he drops the belt, there's tons of stuff for Lashley to do. I'd be more worried about the SmackDown thing. They seem to have gone down the young route where they've got that Xia Li. They're going to do something with Hit Row. My main takeaway from Hit Row, and when I asked sources about what's going on with that Hit Row thing, they said that was the biggest surprise of them all, because Hit Row are central to what NXT is supposed to be. Like the you know, the picture that they're trying to paint over at NXT 2.0, that's supposed to be centered around people like Hit Row and acts like Hit Row with the whole cool and urban thing. And they go over. And I think with that happening, the main takeaway from that was that Vince McMahon may already be bored of the facelift on NXT.
And we
know this happens with him. Like, this is a guy who has massive, massive like attention span issues. Like, we're looking ADD. At a guy. Yeah, we're looking at a guy that 2 weeks ago introduced a rule in tag matches where you can only break up pinfalls once. Did you hear about that?
Yeah. Yeah, that got mentioned one time and I've never heard it ever again.
Yeah, for a week he decided that you can only break up pinfalls once. He had Jimmy Smith turn around and say, "Oh, that's Rhea's like one. That's a one breakup that she can do." That's
they
gonna
even
be
almost made fun of it when they said it too. They were like, "Oh, that's a rule."
Yeah, and that's going to be like a nightmare to maintain if they haven't already dropped it. But this is Vince McMahon. I love Hit Row. Hit Row is going to be exactly what NXT 2.0 is. Oh, actually, we need him on SmackDown. Boom, done. Like, they're off the NXT brand, despite one guy holding the North American title and being in the middle of a feud with another group. It's stupid.
Let me give you some quick hits and give me a couple semi-quick answers. And
I just want to ask you a question, like, quickly before we move off. We're hardly ever going to talk about NXT 2.0.
Yeah.
But what do you think of that fucking Bron Breakker when he starts talking? Who do you hear?
You know, it's funny because when I first saw him, I had no clue who he was.
And you heard his voice.
And the first thing I saw, and when I saw him and heard him, I said, "Wow, he really looks like one of the Steiners." It was unbelievable. I'm like, and then I had no idea. And I was like, "Wow, yeah, he's wearing a singlet and everything." And of course, it's, why do you have to change people's name? You could build off of that. I mean, they do the whole, next generation.
Like, even more than the look, though, is when he opens his mouth. Like, well, that is like,
he's got the retard quirky look to him.
No, I mean, I'm talking when he talks. Like, it's
mannerism.
It's Scott Steiner. Mm-hmm. It's no, the voice is 100% Scott Steiner.
Or Rick. Like,
do you think Rick and Scott sound exactly the same?
To a point, Scott's turned into something else, obviously, you know, from when he turned into a crazy man, then it was a lot different.
But I think he'll end up with their title, and I think that's like the main thing you build around. I do not understand why it isn't Rex Steiner though.
I don't understand either. That's why I say they push that whole next generation stuff and how many generations of superstar they are, and they just ignore. And I'm like, this isn't a point.
I guess that's when you're on good terms with the generation, though. I think, like, now Charlotte might be, you know, after the whole thing with Ric Flair, she could be like
just Charlotte Wilson.
Charlotte Wilson.
Here comes Charlotte Wilson. So, speaking of pushing to the top quickly, here is one for you that I see during the Raw draft where I wanted to throw something at my television. Gable Steveson is drafted to the Raw. The guy has learned to do a somersault in professional wrestling. He just got signed weeks ago, and he's now on Raw, and they make it like he's in a real draft, and he's backstage hugging his parents and clapping. Holy, come on.
It's like they did that. It's like they did that pick that they go, "Oh, how about if we did this and we did an NFL thing for like one guy. For one guy, but without thinking of the fact that he can't wrestle. He can't go into a feud. He's completely missed NXT. But don't worry about that. What we need here is this one moment to make it look like we're the same as the NFL."
And we don't even know if he has personality. Like, obviously, I mean, good luck following Angle as Olympic gold medal. I mean, this is everyone looks at right away. And Angle's a different animal completely, the way he adapted and everything. And now it's like, this guy has to have personality and be able to actually go in the ring in pro wrestling style. That's a lot to be throwing on this dude that's, you know, an Olympic champion. Sure, he's an athlete, but this is a whole other animal. And to do this to him, I think it's almost a disservice. Unless they have seen him in this practice that we do not see and training, and they're like, "Oh my God, he doesn't even need training, how great he is. He's unbelievable." That is
Can you imagine? Can you imagine he comes in and actually is that good?
Like, or an idiot savant. Immediately.
Or even serviceable. Like, you have people like Lana who are around for
practice for 8 years and are horrible.
Did you hear her comment this week where she said, if I look like Charlotte Flair, I feel like if I look like Charlotte, they would have made me the champion.
Oh, my God.
What? Did you not read that?
No.
It's like you look like you. You have everything.
Yes.
The look is not the problem. Like, it's the fact that you're completely awful at everything else other than your looks. She actually turned around and went, the problem was I didn't look like Charlotte Flair. It's like how I thought she was delusional.
That's a handicap. If she looked like Charlotte and had a lot talent. Of skills, she wouldn't be there. She wouldn't be even close there. Speaking of some of these...
She'd be in a strip club.
Speaking of some of these women here, or splits that we have in between Raw and SmackDown, didn't old Shitzy Blackfart and Knox beat the champions multiple times and they were going to have a title shot? Now they're split up.
Oh, who are split up?
Knox and Shotzi.
They got split up.
They're split. They're on different shows.
I didn't follow the drafts.
I have the list of the entire draft for both sides, but Mace and old Car Antenna, they're split up. And Shanky and whoever the other guy is, they're split up. So it's like, I'm like, what are they going to do? For one, you know, they're lucky to have a job, which I can't imagine they're going to be around much longer. But I understand the Shitzy and Knox being quality and good to be able to, you know, have single stuff. But how do you abandon these things that are, they push them to be champions or at least be contenders? Well, then lose the match and then have now I have to go to another side.
Well, the thing is, they were not even a tag team in NXT. So I was confused as to why they did it. Because Knox, Shotzi teamed with Ember Moon, who's doing nothing in NXT now because she's not part of the whole, the new fresh group. So she's just losing. She got beat by Mandy easy this week on NXT. So, and Mandy's getting a big push over there. Like one interesting bit of news, which is not on our list. Mm-hmm. So Mandy was the number one Google search in wrestling for the week.
No kidding, because of the outfit changes. I'm telling you, it's always the outfit changes. You have a different outfit all the time, that is half your battle. You got to look new and hot. So
before people like correct me or anything like that, this wasn't Twitter or trending on Twitter or anything. She was Google searched the most this week. So that's a completely different thing. But yeah, so.
And another way to find out whoever goes to SmackDown or Raw, just find out who's with who, spouses, bang buddies, whatever, because that's automatic. Like you were like, okay, well, Carmella we know is going over because Graves is over there. Keith Lee, you're going to get, and all of a sudden she's Mia Yim again. She's not whatever her name was in Retribution. We haven't seen her in God knows when, but she's with him over there now. So anybody who's with each other goes over. So
what did you think overall about the shows? You feel like the pacing of the shows, the way it was done? I my personal opinion, I still disagree with the starting with number 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 and then carrying on, like, you know, the first round, second round kind of thing. I think if you've seen the first round, I don't think you're as interested in rounds 5 or 6. They need to work on that, where back in the day, you know, the last thing you saw, I mean, I remember John Cena coming out on Jericho's highlight reel. That was like the first thing. They mixed it up. But, you know, the last thing they ended up on, the last thing on SmackDown in the 2005 draft was, you know, Batista coming out. That was it. Teddy Long even made them have a number one contenders match.
Had a bookend.
To crown who was going to be like the new champion now that Raw had two champions. And then they said, oh, we don't need this match. The winner's not the new champion. The winner's JBL. You're not actually the champion. You're only the number one contender because our final draft pick is Batista, right? Mm-hmm. It keeps the drama going on throughout. They need to find a way where all of the main eventers are not picked at the beginning of these shows because there's no reason to watch. Then you're trying to get people to stay for whatever the main events were going
to
be.
You're right. And they should have that whole, you have to win a match to be able to be picked next. You know, what show gets to pick has to win the match. One of those things that they used to do. And I also used to like just the random pictures that would flash and then would stop on somebody. I like that too.
Yeah. I tell you what was miraculous for me this week, and I was really fucking surprised. they actually did a bit that made sense where Big E and Drew were out there and Dolph Ziggler came out. Mm-hmm. And it was like, oh my God, they remember their history. And it's not fake history.
I even almost forgot the history.
It's like, Jesus, like, this is actually a thing that makes some sense that he's out there saying this thing to these two guys.
I was hoping I was...
I almost feel like Ziggler wrote it. I feel like Ziggler might wrote it himself.
I was really hoping, and I actually had hope for a second, that when he showed the clip of Big E, I totally thought they were going to show him where he punched AJ Lee in the chest. I was waiting for, because I'm like, that's their little shot, like the scorned girlfriend over for Punk, you know? And that was something where he could say, look at how green and klutzy you were. You didn't even notice.
They could have had him kissing her because he used to like, they used to make
Caitlin.
Out.
Right? Oh, was he kissing AJ or I know he kissed Caitlin, but was he kissing?
No, he would make out with AJ with their legs wrapped around him, and Big E would stand there in the background like this.
Oh, I thought you meant kissing Big E, AJ. No, I got you. Yeah, she was kissing everybody, but yeah. So I was very surprised. I thought they would actually do that, but WWE reminds me of the scorned ex-girlfriend or even a scorned boyfriend that has to be a child afterwards, and they're like, so Punk didn't choose them, and then it's, we didn't want him anyway, he's terrible in the locker room. It's, they would have taken him in a heartbeat for double the money, but because he did not choose them, it's, well, I didn't like, you're ugly anyway.
No, I don't think that will happen with this situation. I don't think he didn't choose them. They didn't want to talk to him. He was willing to talk to them.
He chose AEW and did not. I thought he did not pursue pretty much WWE. Like, they wanted to talk to him, and he was just like, he's had it with them. He's still got a hair up his ass for them.
No, I think it's a different situation. I believe he was there on Fox, willing to talk to anybody. I actually believe the opposite to you. Yeah. I believe that AEW was making offers the whole time, and he was waiting for WWE to do something because he was on Fox. And I think by the time, you know, it got to, you know, 2021, he finally told Fox, he said, look, this is the offer and I'm going to take it. And that's when Fox said, holy shit, like, we need to stop this from happening because this defeats the whole point of why he brought him across. So I don't think that you sit on it and you're working for Fox essentially and being on WWE television. I don't think you do that for 18 months. Well, I know he wasn't on for 18 months, but I don't think you wait 18 months if you want to work for AEW. You had a chance to go to AEW at the beginning. The money was the same. Like, I don't think you cared whether this one sunk or swim. At the end of the day, Tony Khan and his dad have got $7 and $11 billion. You were going to get paid. Mm-hmm. The company, this whole thing of like, oh, he wanted to see how it was. Well, this company could never fail because if you're judging AEW on financial success, it is failing because it loses money every single year. AEW is a financial failure because it loses year, but it loses money every year. But you can't judge it like that because this is a rich man's toy. We collect action figures. He collects the real men.
You
as
collect action,
action
figures.
Right. All right, I collect action figures, but he collects the real people. His action figures are... I'm not gonna buy Elite Series 21 when CM Punk was the champion.
I'm gonna buy
CM Punk. Like, so how can you compete with that? Like, this guy is so ridiculously rich. All he's doing is having fun, like running, is like playing wrestling company promoter, and he's just, you know, this is just him spending his money. You're watching a guy spending his money. Like, that's what you're doing.
If he could only make the Jaguars champions, like he could make Omega and anybody else a champion, they'd be okay.
The salary cap, though, in the NFL.
Yeah, but you're still running things, and okay. Well, I think we're done with what is on the simulcast now and what is being broadcast on the Dirty Sheets podcast. You can now go over to Keeping It 100's YouTube to see the rest of this show and hear the news that Billy has for this week. You could find us all over Twitter, Billy, that we're constantly busy on Twitter all the time. You're at BillyK100. You're also at SGP Soccer on Twitter. You want to go to lockbetting.com. I don't know where he's not. I think if you throw a rock, you'll find Billy somewhere.
I think Billy K needs to be spelled. It's B I LLIK 100.
No IE like the ugly girl that speaking
we'll know,
of
we'll know why.
Speaking of ugly girls, Billy, do you know that the two hottest women in all of WWE are from San Jose? That's Bayley and Shotzi Blackheart. They're both from San Jose.
I know you don't think they're the two hottest women in WWE.
I'm just saying. I'm like, so if you go up the road to Concord, though, there's Eva Marie. But they're all from San Jose, which will be SmackDown this Friday, actually. I won't be attending. Thank you. All right. Let's go over everybody from Dirty Sheets. Go check us out. And that's at Real Dirty Sheets on Twitter, too. You can find exclusively for that show. See you next time, guys.